Let's all read together one of the most famous verses, John 3:16. Is it on the screen? Okay. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him won't perish, but will have eternal life. This single verse encapsulates the core of Christianity, holding the promise of God's salvation for humanity. However, it's crucial that we understand this precious verse, or we could fail into serious errors. What errors? The terrible mistake of losing sight of God's original purpose and reducing everything to a judgment of future heaven and hell. That's why it's important to understand the true meaning of this verse by considering its context and the purpose behind Jesus' words. Are you ready? Are you ready? Alright. Today's reading is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. The key dialogue occurs in verse 5. Read it together. Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom." The term "born of water and the Spirit" doesn't mean a physical rebirth, but rather a spiritual renewal, receiving grace from above. It involves the cleansing of worldly impurities with water and the filling of that void with the Spirit, resulting in a spiritual rebirth from above. When Jesus spoke of being born of water and the Spirit, He meant returning to the original state of humanity as God intended, restoring the image of God in which human beings were created. Why? Because that image had been lost. So what happens when a fallen and worldly person is washed with water and filled with the Spirit? It's not something extraordinary or mysterious. Rather, it's a restoration to the original God-given heart. It should return to a heart that bears the image of God. What is this original heart? The heart that bears the image of God. It's none other than the heart of love. The heart of someone who is born again of water and the Spirit becomes a vessel for the heart of God, which is love. It's stated in 1 John 4:8. Let's read it together. "The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love." Yes. This renewed heart is not temporary. It's gradual. It's a gradual realization and understanding and a gradual transformation to love more. When do we understand the love of our parents most deeply? It's often after they are no more in this world that we realize how much they loved us, right? Doesn't mean their love wasn't there before? Of course not. We just come to understand it later. Restoring the heart of love given by God, that's the essence of the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Then Nicodemus wonders, How such a thing is possible? Jesus answers him in verse 11. John 3:11. Do we have 3:11? Oh, sorry then. I'll read it. I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. It's about those who are born again of water and the Spirit, those who testify, and yet you refuse to believe. That's what Jesus is saying. Christians leave their faith without a magnificent temple like the Jews, without sacrifice like burnt, peace, sin offerings, and without a manual of faith like the law. All we have is being born again of water and the Spirit, restored by God's love. That's why Jesus gave a new commandment. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He wonders why, despite the transformed lives of Christians who practice these two loves, people still refuse to believe. If the Jews believed that they became God's people by living around the temple, offering sacrifices, and keeping the law, then what Jesus speaks of as the Christian's life is love. Let us examine the form of our life of faith. Are we living as Christians or as Jews? Living as Christians does not mean strictly following religious rituals, but living the most human life, which is a life of love. Living as a Christian means expressing love for the invisible God through visible acts of love toward our neighbors. This expression of love doesn't happen at all at once. It happens gradually. It begins with a change of heart and gradually manifests itself in loving actions. How much have you changed? Is love manifested by your rebirth, or is a judgmental heart? Judgmental heart manifesting itself. When I see you, I feel clearly what it means to be born again. May you live in response to such words. Despite Jesus' simple statement, the Jews did not accept him as the Messiah. Do you know why? I told you why last Sunday. Do you remember? It's because of Deuteronomy 21:22-23. It says, "Now if someone is guilty of a capital crime and they are executed, and you then hang them on a tree, you must not leave the body hanging on the tree, but must bury it the same day, because God's curse is on those who are hanged." Who hangs on a tree? Jesus does. The question is, how can someone cursed by God become the Messiah? Jesus counters in verse 14. Do we have 14? Yes, let's read it together. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up." This refers to an incident in Numbers chapter 21, where the Israelites, while wandering in the wilderness, complained to Moses about their thirst, about their food. They were dying of thirst and regretted leaving Egypt, saying they would rather have been slaves there. They wondered why God had brought them out to suffer. Despite God's grace of deliverance, the people did not recognize it. So God sent poisonous snakes. And those who were bitten by them died. Moses prayed to God for mercy and deliverance for the people. God heard Moses' prayer and instructed him to put a bronze snake, remember? Bronze snake on a pole, so that whoever looked at it would be healed and live. Do you see the connections? Jesus uses this story to help us understand that being hung on a tree doesn't just bring a curse. It also brings salvation. Our salvation can only be achieved through Jesus Christ, who was crucified. I've invested a lot in explaining these introductory verses in order to interpret the crucial message of verse 16. Please show John 3:16 again on the screen. The key phrase here is so loved. God so loved. How did God love? God loved so much that God gave the only begotten Son. May you feel this love of God. God so loved this world, which God created with love, that God gave the only Son. Why? Because God wants this world to be restored to the loving heart of God. It's not a love just for Christians. The object of this love is the world. The hope is that the whole world will be restored with God's love. Just as everyone who looked at the bronze snake lived, everyone who is born again through the water and the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be saved. Therefore, the cross is the ultimate proof of God's love for the world. To experience God's love through the cross is to be born again and saved. Loving God and loving our neighbor is what salvation really means. This salvation isn't just about judgment in the future. It's happening in our lives right now through Jesus Christ. Please turn to verse 17. Let's read it together. God didn't send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that might be saved through Him. A life of love is already a life of salvation, while a life without love is already a life under judgment. May you find enlightenment in these words. Salvation is nothing but this. Those who live in love dwell in heaven, while those who live in hate and without love dwell in hell. to live a life of love is the most beautiful and divine intention that embodies the appearance of the redeemed people. Today, the Gospel of John teaches a profound doctrine of salvation. Yet, we often find it difficult to believe. So do I. But as time passes, we gradually come to understand it more deeply. Consider this. What is a truly redeemed life, a heavenly life in this world? It's nothing but love. It's difficult to find a truly redeemed people without love. Someone who loves and is loved. Even if all your prayers are answered and all your blessings are poured out, without love, it means nothing. Even if the things you are worried about now come to pass, new worries, new fears will take hold of us. But love believes in covering all mistakes. When we live in love, we believe that the kingdom of God is realized there. As you tend to your plant, try to say that you love them. I love you, I love you. You'll see how vibrantly they thrive with life within. Every life is born to give and receive love. That's the heart of God. Please express this love sufficiently to your family members. Regardless of academic success or failure, this is very important. Whether your children or grandchildren excel or struggle, please love them wholeheartedly with the heart of God's love. Then life blossoms. That's the wonderful secret of God's amazing creation. Love makes life blossom. Let me conclude. Knowing God's love and living as a witness to that love is the life of salvation. To live this way is to live eternal life. This is the message of John's Gospel. While others strive to leave a legacy through their accomplishments, but let us strive to become those who leave a legacy of love even after death. Let us pray. Dear God, our love often falls short, constrained by conditions and limitations. As we journey through this Lenten season, following in the footsteps of Jesus on the way to salvation, may we experience renewal through God's boundless love. Guide us to understand how we can align our lives more closely with God's heart by loving others as God loves us. In the name of Jesus, who willingly bore the cross for our redemption, and the restoration of love. We offer this prayer. Amen.